for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that for 50 years of playing PlayStation, like 12, 13 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Now, those of you playing at home, no need to adjust your screens. I am, in fact, this red. I am not becoming one with my lighting. I am just horrifically face sunburned. Not quite to like the pink of the chair that's just off camera for you, Max, your lovely daughter's chair. But I did the age old, oh man, it's like 20 degrees and it's cloudy. It's fine. Like no one's going to, you know, that was a bad decision. Super, super really fucking sunburnt. So did an outside wrestling show and in turn got pretty jacked up in the sun, in the face. I was wearing a blazer the whole time, so at least my arms and limbs are pretty fine. But you've also had a continuously shit week, Max. You're not feeling any better?
I'm still crook as. I'm now actually on antibiotics, but I'm still crook as.
Yeah, because I got a message from the other night, which was, well, I was a picture of you with a mask on. I'm like, fuck, what's happened? Because normally that means that Hadley's made you go to the hospital. But no, you went.
Yeah, I ended up going to, on Friday night, I went to the emergency care clinic near us. Because I couldn't breathe properly.
Mm.
So I'm like, I should probably get that checked out.
Because you have the asthma.
yeah.
Which doesn't help.
Yeah, so when I got there, the doctor's like, what's your asthma plan? I'm like, what the fuck's an asthma plan? I'm like,
oh, yeah, very important to have.
Have it when it's fucking cold. It's the only time I ever need Ventolin. It's like, no, you need to go see your GP. You need to get an asthma plan.
Correct.
Like, yeah, what?
Yeah, so, you add that to your fucking celiac and your possible utter. Like,
add that to my to-do list.
Yeah, that you'll forget about just like your ADHD assessment.
I've done one of them now.
Hey!
Got one more to do.
How did it? Did you pass it?
I don't know, because she won't look at it and tell you both of them.
Which one did you do?
Which one was it? Was it the dad's? No, what was it? What's that?
Because there's two. There's one that's like a big multi-choice bastard.
No, it's not that one.
Okay.
Did not do the multi-choice bastard.
Yeah, because it's like 150 something stupid questions, and a lot of them are very similar because they're intentionally trying to like stump you to see if you'll answer the same question in a different way, differently. It's pretty well. How do you feel doing it though? Do you like, you know, we're pretty confident you got it, but like,
I mean, considering the fact that I started it in October and it's now February, so like,
yeah, it's a pretty good indicator.
Draw a conclusion from that, if you will, but you know.
But what else has been going on, man?
Not much, really. Just, you know, sick work.
You see, that's the disadvantage that you have is you're used to work even though you're unwell because you work overnight.
Yep. Yeah. It's fine until I get home and then I have a coughing fit and can't sleep.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, it's fine. We're getting there.
That's good. Fam's good.
I'm hacking up all kinds of gooey green stuff. So I think I think I'm on the arse end of it.
Or you're in the middle of it if it's green.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Well, last week I touched upon it in terms of, myself transitioning to a new place of employment. The contract has been signed. It is all ready to go. So as of this Friday, I do finish up at the Manshake. It's been lovely. I went across the state to go and interview one of our customers, one of our ambassadors. to make some really dope, awesome content. I'm very, very happy to see what it does. But yeah, so then I've got a week off, which is lovely. So this weekend, hopefully, I will be in Brisbane for AEW's Grand Slam and then New Japan Pro Wrestling on the Sunday. I'll fly back and I will be back in time to record Monday night. Not that you were worried. Not at all.
Not at all. I didn't even know you were going away this week.
Yeah, me either. Well, it's one of those things where we got media credentials Friday, and it's like, hey, I better work out if I'm flying up next weekend. But it's my son's weekend. It's the weekend I have James, and then I've got a bunch of shows for the rest of the next 4 weeks. So I'm like, shit, I'm gonna have to like cancel some shows and move things around. Oh, I was wanting to see my kid. And I can't not see my kid, so.
You could take him to Brisbane, pony up.
I thought that too, but like I'm bumming off Buddy. Like, so I messaged Buddy being like, yo, I got media things for AEW. Do you have any floor? Because like I need to organize some shit like now. And he's like, yeah, man, come bum on in the office. So Buddy, if you are watching this in post, thank you so much. I love you dearly. Because out of the blue, I just went, yo, man, can I come? And he's like, yeah, dude, no worries. You know, I really appreciate that. Like, that's massive. Because I know when he came and stayed for PAX that one time, and I was like, yeah, man, fuck yeah, go ahead. My house is always open for people. But yeah, so then I come back, have a week off, which should be lovely. And then I start my new job. So I'll become the regional... you don't have to roll the R, I just did it for fun. I am the regional coordinator in Geelong for the Life Changer Foundation. So the Life Changer Foundation is a foundation. It's an organization that helps youth... in young adults in school with mental health supports. So we're focusing primarily between individuals from 7 to 12 and sort of going into the school, teaching them, you know, coping strategies, mental health practices to best deal with the shit time that is school. Whether it be year 12 exams or transitioning from primary into high school, which is quite hard. And then, of course, those dreaded, you know, year 9, year 10, where hormones kick in like a motherfucker and, you know, things become crazy. Yeah, so it's cool. It's as much as I've loved my time with the Man Shake, it's been great. You know, I got to be a full-time content creator for 18 months. Like, who the fuck gets to say that? Yeah, it is nice to be able to go back into youth supports because it's something that I really, really enjoyed. I loved it a lot, and I only left because of redundancy. I didn't leave by choice. So I am very glad to be able to step back into that space, and not in gaming as I did previously, but it is almost entirely my previous role without the games. So I'm very, very keen to get that underway, very keen to get that started. Should be fun. And I get to leave the house, Max.
So overrated, you get sick.
I know. Yeah, it's a good point, eh? Oh man, that's a good point. Like, what if I just get really sick and I get sunburned when I leave the house? Like, fuck, maybe I should just turn this job down, just stay at home forever. Sounds rad. Play a bunch of games. Well, that's what I'm thinking about, Max. Well, let's get into the section. You know, we talk about what we've been playing. So, with my week off, what the hell do I play?
I don't know. But when is it? Next week?
Yeah.
What's coming out soon? Like, just a class. Oh, dude.
You could
dive deep into that Elden Ring Night Rain. Closing network chest.
No thanks. Saying that though, like one of the biggest challenges I've ever had that I had with Elden Ring was patience, right? Because like blew fucking shit me to tears. But I'm yet to play it in the middle of the day in like peak Ritalin window. So what if I happen to play it on this week off with when I've got some Ritalin in me? Duty, what's up, you beautiful human? Good friend, Dame Duty Dench in the chat. Go check him out. Yeah, so like I've got the week off between jobs. I'm like, what do I do? I'm gonna play some games. And now we could play some more Kingdom Come Deliverance.
You could come and visit your best friend Max.
I could do that too. Actually, I could do that. I totally could do that. No, you're sick. Fuck you. Hopefully you're better by then.
Hopefully I'm fucking better by next week.
This next week. But yeah, so Kingdom Come Deliverance, our review is up. It was our episode last week. As we were recording the review, we couldn't do the show live, so we do apologize. But yeah, all our thoughts are there. Game is sick. It's exceptional. I love it. Duty in the chat says Helldivers 2 run. I haven't gone back to Helldivers in a very long time. That could be possible. I do have it on PC and PS4. PS4 wife. Big thank you to PlayStation Australia for that one. But Max, I will let you know, and it did make me laugh because the voice actor for Hans Capon has been having a blast on Twitter this week since the game came out. And he made a tweet yesterday or the day before, like, man, why is everyone talking about the wedding as such a key point? I'm like, well, it was the preview point. That's one. Why? Finally passed it. Got past it, completed the wedding, did all that. Now I'm in the next bit. Now I'm imprisoned again. And I got like 12 hours to save some people. Like, it's fucking pressure's on. Pressure's on. But dear God, is this game still utterly great. I haven't decided, like, those of you playing at home, I'm not going to spoil it, but like, So Duty in the chat, because they've been playing it as well, I said their reviews over on their YouTube channel, go check it out. Duty, great person, and their reviews stacks better than ours. Like, there's memes in it, it's very well edited, we just kind of talk for a while, and he puts good effort in. I spent like near on 40 hours, and I didn't get to said wedding, which is a 10-hour time in the main story. I eventually got there because I built the sword. I got my super sexy wedding attire. I went in. I had a little dance with some girly who's being harassed by some other dude. I'm like, yo, man, leave this chick alone. And later on, she's like, was like nice to me. And she's like, man, you want to dance? I'm like, yeah, sick. Can I talk? Your mum's the cook, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, cool. Can you distract her while I steal some shit? She's like, yeah, man, you were nice to me. I'm like, so I totally stole some shit. But yeah. Was the wedding worth it? Yeah, it's pretty good. But it very much led to, oh man, it's not even the resolution. There's still way more game to go, which I'm excited about. What about you, Max? Have you returned to the Kingdom Comes?
I have. I'm in another... I need to roll back my save a little bit because it fucked me hard on a checkpoint save.
Again or is it the same one?
Again. So I'm at a spot where I'm essentially sneaking through a forest that's being patrolled by guards because I'm on the run. And I got to a checkpoint as I was like mid-escaping.
Yeah.
So as soon as I load in, it's, oi, he's over there. And I'm like, whoa, hang on.
Oh, it's that like loop? Yeah. I had the same thing on like Oblivion back in the day where like I entered a cave and there's a Minotaur there and he just pummels me in the face and I couldn't break the loop.
There's a guy ready to punch me in the back of the head straight away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to roll back a save, I think, and start that process again. It's not too bad. It's probably only about 10 minutes worth of rollback. Like, it's not huge.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
But, yeah, it's frustrating when it gives you a really shitty checkpoint save.
Mm. So that's the challenge of the game is the saving system blows by design, and then it fucks you when it does choose to save. Because right now I don't have any save thingies. So like I can't even save scum because the save you can only get one slot with the save and exit, and I don't want to like because I don't want to like what if I make the wrong choice I need to fucking pull back, so
yeah,
that's a rough choice. Are you still like all your thoughts that you've had that we discussed?
Oh yeah, the game's still changed? So much. Oh no, the game is still so much fun.
Yeah,
it's incredibly fun.
I'm in the same boat. I love it dearly. I think it's fantastic. I'm hoping, like, I'm going to, like, if I do go to Brisbane this weekend, I'm taking my portal. And when I'm not at wrestling, I'll probably be portaling Kingdom Come, I reckon. Or I might get Blatcher on my phone for the flight, which is bad because then I'll have Blatcher on my phone all the time. And I don't want to do that. That seems like a really bad decision. Yeah, it must be a bad decision.
Who are you flying with? Put it on their phone.
No, I've become myself. Lame.
Yeah, lame.
Yeah, that's a bit. But I do have to touch upon some other games that I have played. Now, these ones I did kind of like forget about, so on me. We did receive a code through Keymailer for Streamer Life 2. So it's well known. I love my bullshit Sims. I thought, shit. I've been a streamer for a little while. I've done it in the past and, you know, it was fun. Let's see how a sim game on streaming would work. The game is jank, but I'm really enjoying it for its jank, if that makes sense. In that the game kind of gives you nothing. It sets up in this premise of, now mind you, I have not played the first. you're working in this coffee shop. Apparently, you bugger up some orders, and your boss punches you in the face. So you then break into said cafe, steal their computer and accessories, and then that's how you start your streaming career out of your shitty little trailer. So with it being a sim game, there are a bunch of other things that do need to be accounted for that, like, I originally didn't think about, like, you know, hunger, you need to take a whiz, you need to have a shower. But the game, I think by design, kind of doesn't tell you those, like, you know, where to resolve those things. So even when it came down to, like, you have to whiz, I'm like, but there's no toilet in my house. So I'm constantly looking around for toilets. And so instead, you have to literally buy one through in the game, like through the app, within the game, within your in-game dollar you do. So, like, you'll stream, you might just, you know, your first paycheck as a streamer, people just, the game's unrealistic on how much money you get from streaming. But then, yeah, then you buy the toiletries, I guess, that you need, and buy clothes and increase your setup, and it does become that bit of that loop. But in the early days of the game, the computer that you have is hot garbo. It can't play any games. It can't really do anything. The camera you have looks like shit ass. But one thing you can do is the game has YouTube in it, but it's not YouTube. However, it is essentially like a reskinned YouTube. So you can straight up just search shit and watch YouTube on stream in the game. So, like, I pulled up us, you know, shout out to it, give us a little extra view. Here I am in streamer life with my streamer version of me reacting, quote unquote, to myself. So you can't, you know, there is a chat. You can't really engage with it. Like, you don't have to talk into the computer. It kind of just pretends it all. But there'll be moments throughout said stream where it'll give you like three options, where, you know, or it'll be a sentence with like a space, and you get to pick the word that would go in said space. But the idea is, if you pick correctly, it'll then boost the engagement and involvement within said stream, and you sort of go on from there, right? I like it. So it's something that there are some things about it in terms of it is absolutely like a AA, almost indie game. It's very clearly using like Unity storefronts or something similar. And like, it controls kind of ass. And the button layout was interesting, but it is a PC game, so I could remap it at any point. But I haven't. Just been playing as it is, because that's the experience was you know, as it was intended. And to add to the library of weird simulator games that I have, it is one that I'm glad I picked up. Like, I hit up for the review code, mostly because it's something different. It takes what. So I've been thinking about it this week, Max, about why I love sim games so much. Like, what is it about it that pulls me in? And I think a lot of it is, as I'm very aware of my own skill set, like, there are things that I can do, and there are so many things I can't do and will never get the opportunity to do. So to play, have a game that kind of is life light, and allows me to like explore within a world or occupation that I normally wouldn't have access to, I find quite entertaining. So like PC building simulator, I have a vague understanding of how to build PCs. Bunch of fun building it. I really enjoy that game for that reason. I haven't messed with it yet, but I would like to mess with what's the one that's coming? Paramedic Simulator. I think that would be a laugh, because that's a job that I'll absolutely never have. Even Gas Station Simulator falls in that same space. But even then, I'm playing, like, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I was playing the Fast Food Simulator with Craig, which is a job I literally have had, and I don't know why I got satisfaction out of doing it. But so much so that I even, you know, as I mentioned, games from Keymailer, there is one that I did pick up. I'm just going to do a quick search. My apologies, make sure I can get the name correct. Let's see, redeemed. It is called Street Food Restaurant Simulator. Oh, Restaurant Owner, I should say. So it is made by Nostra Games, so the same team behind the collectible card shop simulator master that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. At its core, this game is very, very similar. It does, you know, feel like, for lack of a better term, you know, a watered down version of Fast Food Sim, in the same way that Card Shop Master was the equivalent of TCG Card Shop Simulator. Unlike the Card Shop one, this one's on PlayStation. Unlike the Card Shop Master, where I was able to get a platinum in 20 minutes and the game became immediately pointless, this game has a longer tail. There's a lot more to it, which I'm enjoying. It is exactly what I was hoping it was be when I reached out for the code, in that I wanted Fast Food Simulator from my PC, but on my console. And that's what I got. And it's pretty standard, pretty janky, not overly complicated, I should say. But it's got just enough of that hook that it kind of keeps you going, you know, as you're building and adding burgers and adding ingredients, you know, as you level up. It's just very standard of that sim sort of approach. And I'm at that point where a couple more levels and it's probably going to hit that overwhelming, or I'm going to start like slipping on some orders. That's fine. It's just sort of, I need to readjust how I look at it. And that's how these sim games tend to work. Let me just write this down. Street Food Sim. I have no idea what time I actually started that chat. But yeah, that's kind of the main things that I've been playing this week, apart from more WWE My GM. You know, I play that pretty much each and every week. But what about yourself, Max? Is there anything you checked out outside of Kingdom Come?
Yeah, I've been playing Civilization 7.
Ooh, can we talk about it?
We can.
Woo.
As of a week ago.
Sweet. So big thank you to the team over at 2K Australia and Double Jump for providing us the review code for Civilization 7. Now we are playing on, I haven't touched it yet. Max is playing it on the PlayStation. How goes it?
Let me just double check. Monday, all review coverage is Monday, February 3rd. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're like a week out. So we had to sign an NDA like post-launch. And I was like, okay.
How is it? Okay, so far it's fun. I have played every Civilization game up until this point. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Civilization series. This is the first time I'm playing it on a console. Normally I'm playing it on PC, so not only am I learning a new game system because they've changed it up this year, I also need to learn how to play it with a fucking controller. And I'm stuck in my ways. I kind of need mouse and keyboard.
See whether you can plug it into your console.
Yeah, I should. I don't know if that works, but I should.
Find out.
But essentially, so the new things that they've added to Civilization 7 is your leader and your civilization are now separate entities. So they're not linked. You don't pick a civilization and that comes with a leader. You pick your leader. So if you want to play Queen Elizabeth, you can.
Okay.
And then you can pick Egypt as your civilization. So you can have Queen Elizabeth ruling Egypt. So essentially, you've got the same core gameplay of winning the game. So if you want a culture win, you want to pick your leader and your civilization that has benefits and bonuses to culture or military, science, economic, all of those things. Every time you advance an age, you can change your civilization. Your leader is your leader for the entire game.
Okay.
But be like, so let's say you pick ancient Greece to start with. And you're going to go Greek civilization. You're like, cool. Agriculturally, they're great. You know, they build all your aqueducts and all that fun stuff. Then you go to the Renaissance age and you're like, maybe I want someone with a bit more firepower because I'm going to go from military victory. So let's maybe jump across to like Britain or USA or something like that that has bonuses to production of military units or attacked that way. So having this, having the ability to change your civilization mid-game, essentially, is very fascinating. And it really changes the way you play the game. Because generally, at the start of the game, you're like, okay, this is my leader. This is my civilization. This is how I plan to win. And you kind of just build all your stuff around that. You don't have to decide that at the start of the game anymore, because you can like, well, you can see how the game is progressing. You can see if other people are maybe a bit ahead of you in a cultural victory or a science victory. So you're like, hey, they're winning culturally or scientific, like their tech tree is good, but they have no military. So I'm going to move into a militaristic civilization and just steamroll them. Interesting. And try and get that advantage back that I'm lacking, because I either missed a few tech tree points early in the game, or I was a bit slower to build my foundations, or however. It gives you that chance to rubber band yourself back into the game by changing your civilization, changing the way you're playing to adapt to how everyone else is playing the game, which is awesome. The other thing that they've added in is the legends and mementos. So it's a meta progression system, which allows you to essentially, as you do things of note, or challenges in the game, you kind of level up your leader and they learn new abilities, new tactics, new gameplay, abilities essentially. So you can kind of, as you could discover wonders, and you essentially gain experience, contribute to the path of the growth of the leader that you've picked, which is really, really cool. So if you play the same leader constantly, you can kind of level it up, learn how it plays, gain those extra skills, and give you a little bit of an upper hand over other people if they're a little bit slower in their progression for their legend, which is really cool. The tutorial's great. It automatically, the first time you play the game, it automatically kind of runs the tutorial for you. It's like, hey, this is what the units are. This is how you build those buildings. This is how the map's going to expand. And it does run through all the stuff on the controller as well. So it's like, hey, this is the button that will automatically select move. This is the button that will open the radial menu that will allow you to look at all your, give you your civilization overview or your trade overview. So it does streamline it a bit, but because I'm so used to like seeing the icons on my screen and just being able to click them, I've got to retrain myself to be like, hey, I've just got to hit L1 and it opens the menu and then I can just pick what I need to pick from. It does do a fairly good job. And because the game is turn-based, being a little bit slower on a controller is not really a big issue. Your turn might take an extra 10-20 seconds as you kind of figure out the layout. It's fine. The game looks great. Again, I am playing it on PS5. I haven't completed a full first game yet because the games do take forever, and due to the PlayStation Network outage, I couldn't claim the key for an entire day after we received it. So I technically started playing Sunday night and it's now Monday. So I've played maybe like an hour and a half.
But is it what you sort of wanted at this point?
Yeah, it is really cool. It is essentially more Civ, but with the fact that I can kind of change my civilization as the game progresses, it does give me, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm not locked into something that I've picked early game that's just never going to work. It does allow you to pivot your strategy.
While I have searched it, there is no active mouse and keyboard support on console.
Rad. Of course there's not. So I'll probably end up buying this game on PC. Because I know all my friends will buy it on PC. So
yeah, and then it makes it fun to have that boost. But like, yeah, for us, you know, as we were kindly provided a review code, it would be disingenuous of us. Like, granted, I ask for like, you know, sim games all the time on PC, but like that's a little different because they're not available on the console, where, you know, this... The idea is for us to experience it on some console.
I mean, like I said, you know, we were, you know, lucky enough to receive a code, and I'm willing to go and purchase it again
on another
system. Like, I'm, from what I've played, really, really enjoying it. Look forward to playing more as I have the time. And I just unfortunately haven't this weekend due to the PlayStation Network outage.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into the section where we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, because I spent the entire day out, pun intended, out. I did two wrestling shows on Saturday. I leave my house, didn't turn on the PS4 since the night, PS5 since the night before. When I got home, so I got home at like midnight, one in the morning, went to bed. Next morning, turned to my console, just fine. I missed it entirely. But what went down?
Well, it was working at 5 a.m. that morning, because that's when I went to bed. And then when I woke up at 11, it was down. And I'm like, okay, cool, no worries. And my understanding is it stayed down for around 20 hours. No one knows why. If you tried to log in on the PlayStation, it said it was down for maintenance. And as compensation, Sony has announced that any affected users will have 5 days worth of PlayStation Network credits to their accounts.
Yeah, it's one of those things everyone's like, give us free games again. Like, no, that happened in 2011 because you didn't have it for like a month. And even then, PS Plus wasn't as prolific back then. So if anything ever drops out, they'll go, yeah, we'll just repay you with extra days. Like, that's the most you're going to get moving forward. Now, obviously, it impacted you quite heavily because you could play Civ 7.
I literally couldn't play anything because of the way my system is set up. I couldn't play anything because I couldn't ping the servers. Like, I couldn't log in anything. Like, I couldn't play my games.
You're the secondary for the PopC account, but you also do the Switch with your parents, right?
I'm also the secondary for my own account, so I couldn't play anything. So I played PC all day.
Yeah, so what did you do? You just played another game, yeah?
I played League of Legends for like 10 hours.
Mute in the chat, one of our beautiful listeners over on Twitch, who is from the US, they said, in America, we suffered emotional damage so intense that Krispy Kreme gave us free donuts. That's kind of cool.
The other thing that I've been playing, which I wanted to play that night, was the new content for Destiny 2 is out.
Oh, yeah?
Episode 3, Heresy, has now been released. We have gone back to the Dreadnought, so far it has been fun.
Yeah.
It has been good to dive back into Destiny. The seasonal activity is fun. You kind of go and explore the Dreadnought and do what they're referring to as a ritual. So you kind of go and do like little mini puzzles, mini events, go hang out, slay some stuff out. And essentially someone has reclaimed the Dreadnought as their own, and we're trying to work out who or what that is. It dropped on Wednesday, I believe. New dungeon, sorry, came out this weekend. Haven't done that yet. They've started doing what they refer to as contest mode for dungeons now, where they essentially lower you to the lowest possible power level you can be to enter the dungeon. And then that's it. So you have no advantage for like farming gear or anything like that. And then normal mode becomes unlocked when the first team beats the dungeon.
Okay.
So as soon as someone beats it, they're like, hey, you can go in normal mode.
Yeah, because my big question would be, like, in a post-Final Shape world, what are they doing? Are they expanding the story, or is it just little dungeons? So what are they doing?
They're essentially telling these little mini episodes, so... they're doing stories on side characters that kind of affect the overall story. But it'll be I think this is the last of the episodes that they have kind of announced. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, because obviously they've still got planned content past there.
Mm.
What is now year? This is year 10. So next it'll be year 11 content. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Because they're essentially just like little stories told over the course of a season, so you'll get a story beat here and there every week or two.
So does that make it difficult? Because like normally when those larger DLCs were coming, you'd be like, oh, it's going to be about this because the story's leading that way. With this being sort of like little anthologies of tales, are you able to see where it's going before it happens? Or you'd be like, oh, that was a cool story. Or, oh, that was...
At the moment, no. Like, we know what the story is. So, essentially, Oryx's sword that was on the Dreadnought after we beat him in the raid, someone has claimed that. It's gone missing. Okay. No one knows who's taken it, but someone's taken it. Another new faction have become... Well, Taken is the what they
is that the same as like, the those from the Taken King?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is back where we were for the Taken King. We're back on Oryx's Dreadnought, in the Rings of Saturn, which is cool. I think it's moved since then, technically, but
well, it's, yeah, but yeah, it's nice to sort of go back to some old stuff and
yeah. So it's been fun redoing that stuff. It was always a cool area, and it was kind of a reason for me to go back. Because I fell off last season was really shit. there's a bunch of potion making that was just hot garbage, and I didn't enjoy the seasonal content. Like, because everything tends to, all the episodes tend to revolve around one seasonal activity, and that activity was just shit. So I just didn't play at all. But this one so far has been good. It may get old quick, depending on how many different events they have running, and they're not all just like, go kill this boss, go kill this boss, go kill this boss, leave, refresh, and do it again.
Yeah.
But the benefit to doing the dungeon in contest mode is you're guaranteed the exotic item from the
completing
it.
Does that I guess lack of a better term, like disempower or devalue that exotic item?
Not really. So, because obviously it's just, well, there's no trading in the game. So it's not like you can run it and then like trade it on or sell it.
Hock it off, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's more of a, I want to be challenged. I would prefer to be challenged and have a guaranteed drop than do it on easy mode, quote unquote, and have a percentage chance of it dropping.
Because
you may never, like, RNG's fickle. You may never get it, no matter how many times you run there.
Because has that happened for you? Like, there's exotics you've not been able to get just because of RNG, or you played enough to get what you wanted?
I almost have all of the exotics in the games except for the ones that I've like that are tied to dungeons that I just don't do regularly.
Yeah.
Because some of the dungeons, I will play all of them once, and then if I don't like them, I just tend to not do them again. Yeah. It's like, eh, whatever. It's this one gun that I'm probably not going to use anyway because you can only ever have one exotic equipped. And I've got my favorite that is kind of always permanently equipped anyway. So it's not it would be just sit in the vault and be a collectible item that I would never fucking use.
He's dumb.
Most of those are real, like most of the exotics from dungeons are real niche. So.
Or as in, like, they work for specific builds, and if that doesn't align with your build, you're not going to really mess with it.
Yeah, if you don't like playing that way, then you're just never going to use it. So,
well, there you go.
It's been cool playing Destiny again.
I was going to say, I'm glad Destiny's, like, still going in some capacity.
MGB.
Oh, sorry, MGB in the chat asked, didn't they add recent Star Wars content? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not technically content. It's armor transmog.
It's when they did like the Aloy one or whatever.
You can skin yourself out as a fucking stormtrooper.
That's pretty cool.
If you're a Titan, one of those red, whatever the fucking red stormtroopers are, if you're a Emperor Warlock, Guards, and then some other dude is for something else. I don't know. I don't Star Wars.
You know,
The D&D ones were cool.
Yeah, the PlayStation ones were really cool. Like, was it Kratos and Aloy and Nathan Drake, I'm pretty sure. But speaking of like PlayStation properties, though, Resistance. So Resistance, Fall of Man, one of the launch titles on the PS3, made by the now first-party Insomniac Games. And we've always asked, Max, after they did their 3, are we ever going to see it again? Well, it turns out the studio tried, but it didn't get the green light.
It was Jin Sakai.
Jin Sakai, thank you.
I thought
Ghost of Tsushima's. In a wider interview with Kinda Funny Games, Ted Price, who will be soon departing his position as CEO at Insomniac Games, opened up about the PS3 sci-fi first-person shooter series, revealing that a fourth mainline Resistance game was pitched to Sony, but was ultimately rejected. Quote, "We did pitch Resistance 4, and it was a wonderful concept," Price says, explaining that, quote, "in terms of timing and marketing opportunity, it didn't work out," end quote. He says the pitch was, quote, "the result of a lot of Insomniac team members being passionate about extending the story further," end quote, And then there's another one. Price says he thinks the series, quote, has set up a really cool alternative history base wherever anything can happen, end quote. Using the Chimera's origins and the next steps as examples of further stories, he adds, we spend a lot of time working on backstory and brainstorming on where we could take this in the future. Finally, he acknowledges that fans have been calling out for more games in the series, but can't say for sure if it will ever happen. Quote, we love fan response, and we know fans ask us pretty regularly if we're going to do another Resistance, end quote. Now,
I've never played a Resistance.
I have played Resistance Fall of Man, like a little bit, on PS3. I never owned it. I borrowed it from a mate. So I can't speak too heavily to the franchise at large. I do think it's very interesting that PlayStation went, we don't want to do a first-person shooter because, you know, we have so many of them. But I guess did he specify, like, when he pitched it?
No, but I mean, at that time, they had the partnership deal with Call of Duty anyway.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that would make sense.
That was technically their shooter.
Yeah. Well, that only worked really well for them, didn't it? Thumbs up. But yeah, look, of course I'd like to see more Resistance. Personally, I'd prefer more Killzone because Killzone was the series that I played. I thoroughly enjoyed it on PS2. The only one I didn't play was the one on PS4, which was Killzone
Retribution.
No, because that was...
Shadowfall?
Shadowfall? Shadowfall? No, Mercenaries was on the Vita.
And it was Shadowfall. Shadowfall was the most recent one in 2013.
Yeah, it was Shadowfall. That one I didn't play. I got it through PS Plus, and I downloaded it, and then I never played it. Maybe that can be my week off game, Max. But in the chat, MGB does add, I would like to see all three of the Sony's FPS, Killzone, Resistance, and SOCOM. SOCOM was the one that I'm surprised is not back, period. Like, that would make a really good games as a service. So, like, why the fuck didn't they do that? Make it kind of like Rainbow Six Siege. Done. Problem solved. Boom. Didn't they even hire the guy from Siege once? Where's he at? But, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But I also feel that this was mentioned, like, a long-ass time ago, that we weren't going to get another Resistance. But it may be, you know, directly from the horse's mouth. Not that Ted Price is a horse, but more that... We know that it was pitched.
Yeah. Oh. Set list updates. In case everyone forgot, Sony is planning a worldwide tour of PlayStation, the concert, the musical event, featuring tracks from various first-party games. PlayStation has now announced a bunch of additional titles that will feature during the concert. Attendees will be able to hear music from Bloodborne, Uncharted, Journey, Astrobot, and Helldivers 2. Performed live.
Woohoo.
There's still no Australian nets. Bullshit. They've just got US and UK.
Well, then it's not a fucking world tour now, is it?
They do say that they're going to add more dates soon, so I'm waiting for that to happen because I would love to go.
Oh, I'm absolutely... Yeah, if there are tickets, Max, and it becomes available, like, you and I, we'll go. A, for the content game, and two, because it'd be fun. But, no, I'm super, super keen. Now... So I'm just pulling up something else before we head into the quick bits. Cool, done. But yes, so like for me, obviously Astrobot's going to be the one I want to hear the most. God of War, I'd love to hear like that bit, you know, Bear McCreary sort of feel, but he's not going to be there. Or is he going to be there? I don't remember. That I'd like to hear. Bloodborne has pretty good tunes. Uncharted, exceptional tunes. Journey, beautiful tunes. Helldivers, I don't really recall what the soundtrack for Helldivers is like. I'm assuming it's very orchestral and powerful. What's on your must listen? What's your must hear, Max?
That's good. Probably Astrobot. Maybe I'll take Hadley. Maybe Hadley can come. Hadley get a kick out of it.
Well, just Astrobot.
I have a feeling my fucking Spotify rap this year is just gonna be fucking Astrobot music.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
That sucks. All right. Yeah. Quick bits.
Monsanto. I'm super bummed about one of these.
Yeah. So Monsanto Wild's beta has been extended by 24 hours due to the PSN outage. That's cool. Now Max, you're super keen.
That's did what you the beta? One I'm No, I didn't beta. I didn't have time.
And the internet was out.
Yeah, I did the stress test on my PC to see if I could run it. It's like, yep, you're fine. 4K, 80 frames per second.
I'm hey, sexy. So speaking of things on the PC, PSVR 2 will be missing out on Civ 7's VR mode as it is coming to the Meta Quest only. That yeah, so I would fuck with. Now, you have our PSVR 2.
I haven't plugged it in yet. Haven't. It's still fucking sitting on my desk waiting to be used.
Of course you haven't. Because one of the things I'm going to be doing, like...
I'm super fucking bummed that this is not coming to PSVR 2.
Yeah, it's pretty like, gutting.
You have a PlayStation version. Like, just come on.
Maybe very similar to, like... Maybe there's some dealio. Yeah, Zuck paid for it. Same as the Batman game or whatever.
Zuck paid for it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, one of the things I was thinking about this, right? Because you know when you get a new job, you know, you always want to buy yourself, you want to treat yourself for something. I'm going to get those. I'll send you the link so you can, if you have your prescription, you can do it as well. Those little, you know, eye lens thingies, so you can put them into your VR, so you don't have to wear your glasses underneath the headset. It's like $60. Fuck it, why not? It's a purchase that I wouldn't make unless I was like, yeah, why not? And I'm probably more likely to play it if I don't have to put my glasses on because it gets sweaty, it gets steamy and foggy, and I hate it. And seeing as they are easily removable.
I just hurt my eyes and play without my glasses on.
That's horrible. But I'm a lot more really, blind than you, I think.
I get a really gnarly headache after about an hour. I was like, I'm done.
But Death Stranding 2 has received a new age rating. So it is absolutely looks like it's coming this year,
mm-hmm.
which we knew about. So it doesn't really change anything. There's two more bits of news. There's this one and the one I found. MLB The Show goes back to school and has a board game mode.
Yeah, they may have won me over just with a board game mode. Yeah, like, I'll just fuck with it just to play a board game.
Well, I do love MLB The Show. And we'll hopefully be reviewing that one again. I reviewed it last year for Player 2. You can check me out on Metacritic for that review. Fancy. The board game mode should be fun. So it's just kind of like top down and then you've got to like roll dice. That'd be sick. That'd be dumb. So dumb.
Yeah.
But Max, if you want to step away from your Civ 7 and head into like another RTS, which I know Civ 7's on RTS, everyone, please don't punch me. Age of Mythology Retold. Will be coming to PS5 on March 4th.
And AOE 2, I think.
Yeah, AOE 2 is coming, but it does not have a date yet. So this was spotted a while ago where there were some trailer or some footage of some people playing Age of Empires with the PlayStation symbols present on the screen as the prompts. However, it is now being confirmed, Age of Mythology, which I fucking love Age of Mythology. So I'll be super keen to play that one. And then your AOE 2 will be coming later in the year. At some point, I just randomly opened a tab and it started yelling at me. So my apologies, everyone playing at home. That's all the quick pitties.
I do have a list of upcoming games.
Oh, give me 2 seconds, please.
It is all over the place, so bear with me as I try and stumble through what's on PS5 and PS4.
Go nuts.
Okay, coming up first thing, Feb 11, so tomorrow, Sid Meier's Civilization 7 comes to PS4 and PS5.
That's today, it's today at time of release.
Yep. We have Rugby 25 coming to the PS4 and PS5 on February 13th. We also have on February 13th, coming to PlayStation 5, we have Schnezinka Sentinel Girls 2. Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip. Fuck me.
Good name.
Urban Myth Dissolution Center. They're all coming out on the 13th. On the 14th, we have Dead Dragons coming to PS4, PS5. We have the Afterlove EP coming to PS5. We have The Legends of Heroes Trials Through Daybreak 2 coming to PS4, PS5. We have Tomb Raider 4, 5, and 6 Remastered. Coming February 14th to PS5 and PS4. And that is... Oh, and we have Lost Records, Bloom and Rage.
Bloom and Rage?
Bloom and Rage. Not Blooming Rage. Coming February 18th to a PS5 near you.
Well, that's less exciting. Part of me was hoping that it's this super Australian game called Bloom and Rage. That I would care about.
It was just me saying it now.
Oh shit! MGB in the chat says Angel of Darkness on PS5. How is that? Angel of Darkness. Which one's that?
Yeah, what the fuck is that? That is not on my list.
Angel of Darkness.
Got it, man.
Apparently it's a bunch of songs. Hang on, Angel of Darkness game. A Tomb Raider, Angel of Darkness. Oh yeah, because they've got that Tomb Raider set. Yeah. I don't know. I assume they all handle like asshole.
Isn't that shit fucking twin stick?
Probably.
Shenanigans of Tomb Raider.
I don't know. It's one of those ones where, like, I remember going back to try to play like the original Tomb Raider, like not the remastered one, which I wish I played that years ago instead of this, the original, because it handles like garbage. Like, we'll, it's tank controllers but shitter somehow.
Well, see, Ali's a huge fan of Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, they had a big fucking Tomb Raider sale on Steam. I think I paid $5 and I got Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, Tomb Raider 1, 2, 3, Last Revelations, Chronicles, Angel of Darkness, Anniversary, Legend, and Underworld for $5.
That's a steal.
That is a steal. I don't think she's ever played them because they're on PC.
Well, like, maybe you should secure the... other one.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Are you going to? Probably not.
No, I already have to share my PlayStation with fucking Hadley.
Yeah, that's a good point, eh? You had to add with the wife as well.
I said to Ali, I think I'm going to need to get another fucking PlayStation up in this house.
Well, because you do have the opportunity to do the monthly payoff PS5 Pro thing, which, you know.
Because now that we're in, like, PlayStation game review season... And Hadley plays my PlayStation till fucking 7:30 each night. And then I go to work at 9:30. Like, I could really use that, like, 6 till 7:30 gameplay time that Hadley's fucking playing AstroBot. Or
yeah, it's a good point. Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. As always, big thank you to everyone that is listening at home or has joined us here live on Twitch. It's absolute pleasure, whether that be the likes of Mute, MGB, Dame Duty Dench jumped in there for a smidge as well, which I much appreciate. And it's a big fan. I really appreciate everyone that comes in and has a chat. Also appreciate everyone at home for checking out and listening, because like, it's one of those things where we'll do this show anyway, but it's even better to know that people like are liking and enjoying it. So
happy Super Bowl Monday, everyone.
Yeah, happy Super Bowl Monday. Go Birds.
Even though it's Super Bowl Sunday, the people who actually care about the Super Bowl.
No, I don't care. I don't care at all. For me, it's halftime show. I'm like, oh, Kendrick's pretty cool, but I'm like, I don't really want to see a whole, you know, show. And for me, just the meme of Go Birds from Always Sunny is just what I get a kick
out of. Speaking of Go Birds, although it has nothing to do with birds, it has something to do with Essendon, but you see that Melbourne has reclaimed the fucking highest house sold in Australia?
Oh, that's great to know. What is it now?
It's like $144 million.
What the fuck? Where? Is it in like Toorak or some bullshit? Turak. Yeah. Fucking Toorak.
Yeah.
I was going to say either that or Brighton, like, you know, somewhere, one of those two unreasonably successful suburbs.
I'm pretty sure it was Toorak. It was the old, what was it?
Whoa. Hang on, here in the chat. Kendrick from Mute. Kendrick diss Drake, Super Bowl, makes sense. I assume they play...
I'm pretty sure they weren't the PlayStation symbols, Mute. I'm pretty sure it was the... Like
Squid Game or whatever.
The Squid Game symbols.
Yeah, and then made PlayStation symbols, which, like, the Squid Game is just PlayStation without the cross. So that'd be pretty sick, but yeah, probably Squid Games.
Yeah, I think it was...
But yeah, is it in Turak?
Yeah. It was called fucking something Manor.
A manor? Yeah, no wonder it's 115.
It was a fucking 20-room McMansion. They're downsizing.
You'd fucking hope so.
They bought it in 2012.
For like $85.
For $1.2 million. And in 12 years, it's...
A 100-fold increase.
Yeah.
The real estate bubble in this fucking country is fucked. Like, this is bad. Like, Australia's entire, like, hey, everyone playing at home, let's not play about PlayStation. But, like, Australia's entire economy is, like, built on fucking real estate, and it's really dangerous. But, you know,
There you go. It's the Kunak Mansion in Toorak.
Sounds like a swear word.
Sold by former Essendon Football Club boss, Mr. Little.
Oh.
Yeah. It's believed to have been sold with the speculation of a price anywhere between $115 to $150 million.
Apparently, hang on, whoa. Between $115 and $150. $35 million as a rounding is fucked. That's more money than some countries, man. That is more than like an entire suburb to the east of Toorak.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's get out of here. I'm fucking mad at that. Max.
Well, everybody, this PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning in podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculture. It's where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
Oh, don't forget the Elden Ring Night Rain beta is...
Oh, yeah, Elden Ring.
Yeah, Elden Ring.
Yeah, go check that out.
People are selling their keys online, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, for like hundreds of dollar redos.
Ugh, nerds.